Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Captain Tristan Lorraine joins us at this time to talk about Everybody Flies, a very frightening documentary about a little-known serious issue. Tristan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me on your program.
It's a pleasure. We're going to be talking about Everybody Flies. And this is your feature documentary that follows you, a former airline captain, as you uncover the facts about the air we breathe on commercial aircraft. The truth, as we find out, is not pretty. But instead of me spewing it out, possibly getting things wrong, I'd love for you to maybe introduce it, especially for people who are unfamiliar with this topic and also haven't seen the film. I mean, what exactly is the situation and why should we be worried?
Okay, yeah, thank you. So, many of your viewers listening, they should ask themselves this. When they were last flying on an airplane, sitting there at 35,000 feet before the COVID era, looking out the window and having something to eat or having something to drink, have they ever asked themselves, where does the air I'm breathing right now come from? Because outside it's minus 56 Celsius or so, and there's not enough air pressure for you to survive. So how do I survive up here? Well, what most passengers don't know, and what airlines don't tell passengers, is that the air that you're being supplied to breathe is coming directly from the compression section of the engines. And this air gets contaminated in varying degree with engine oils and sometimes hydraulic fluids, which are in the oil to lubricate the oil. So these heated oils come in with the air supply, and you get to breathe this as well. Now, the thing that worries us and the reason why we make the films is because when these contaminated air events occur, they can impact flight safety and they can impact public health. So from a flight safety point of view, we've had pilots that have been impaired or totally incapacitated as a consequence of breathing this contaminated air. And some of your listeners might be thinking, well, how do I know if it's contaminated? Well, usually it has a telltale sign. It smells like dirty socks or a wet dog smell. But here's the warning. When you kind of get these events happening, it's really important to note that you will become so quickly desensitized that if you don't do something quickly, you won't even notice it's there anymore. And for your older listeners who used to go into bars when people used to smoke, you'd walk in and you think, wow, it really stinks of smoke in here. But once you've been in there for a while, you wouldn't even notice. So that's the flight safety issue. And people will think, well, hang on, how can it be a flight safety issue? There must be warning systems on the airplanes to warn the pilots or warn the crew if the air is contaminated. No, there isn't. You get on an airplane that's worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and yet they have never installed any contaminated air warning systems. And yet every small light aircraft that you learn to fly on has a warning system. And that's because, in my opinion, they're terrified of the consequences of what can happen. Now, before COVID, 11 million people, were flying every day, around the world, and there wasn't any problems for the majority of people who travel on airplanes. But these chemicals are very hazardous and can be very toxic. And that's why if you pick up the cans of these oils or hydraulic fluids, read what it says on the can. It says, do not breathe mist or vapor from heated product, suspected of causing cancer, suspected of causing neurological problems, suspected of damaging fertility. So the reason why we make the film is so that passengers can become informed about this issue, and passengers can then demand airlines and governments to do something about this, to install filters and install warning systems. And that, in essence, is why we made the film and the basics of the issue.
Yeah, with the exception of last year, for obvious reasons, and also possibly the near future, I am, like many people out there, a person who takes many flights throughout the year. But I had never heard about this. And this might be a silly question, but given the fact that in the documentary you state, and the documentary states that this is something that the industry has known about for a long time, it's just something that is not, that people are not aware of. Why is that?
Well, it's a very good question. So when in the dawn of the jet age, when they first started taking air from the engines back in the 50s, when jet aircraft entered the world, they initially realized that this was a problem. So in military aircraft, they put all the pilots on oxygen from takeoff to landing. And in early commercial jet aircraft, they designed them so they would not use the air from the engines. But with time, this was quite a costly and a heavy way of doing it without going into all the complexities of it. So in about the 1950s, late 50s, early 60s, in the Europeans, by way of the British and the French, they started to use air straight from the engines. In the industry, it's known as bleed air because it's bled off the compression section of the engine. So they started using bleed air, and the Americans thought, hang on, we're a bit of a commercial disadvantage here, so we'll start doing it too. And also they thought the engines, you know, the seal, that basically the reason why the oil's leaking in the air supply is the engine, if anybody looks at a jet engine, you'll see that it's got this kind of big fan blade on the front of it, and it has a shaft through the middle of the engine, and those sit on bearings to allow everything to rotate. And those bearings need to be lubricated, and that's where the oil is in the core of the engine. And these oil seals leak, and that's why the air supply gets contaminated. So originally they didn't want to do this, but then they started doing it. But people used to smoke on airplanes. So initially, all these contaminated air vents were masked. Nobody was very much aware of them. But when the smoking ban came in the late 80s, early 90s, people started to ask, what's that strange smell on the airplane? What's that? And by the early 90s, flight attendants in America were already complaining to the American Transport Safety Senate hearings and stuff like that. By 99, 2000, there was a year-long Australian Senate inquiry that concluded this was a serious issue and people's health were affected and it was a flight safety issue. By 2010, the High Court of Australia, after an 18-year legal battle, upheld a ruling that inhaling heated engine oil fumes was harmful. So when I first got involved in this, you know, I was an airline captain and I was a health and safety rep. And when my colleague rang me in 2001 and told me he was being ill health retired because of these oil fume exposures, I said to him, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, the oil fumes we notice on the plane. I said, no, there's nothing to worry about. You know, I've asked an engineer about that. And he said, it's just oil, nothing to worry about. And, you know, I was an airline captain for, you know, what was one of the greatest airlines in the world. And I naively thought, when they tell me, oh, it's just oil, nothing to worry about, I just thought it was like, you know, going to be no worse than cooking oil. But nobody had ever shown me the cans and what was written on there or what was actually in the oils. I mean, they contain organophosphates. So, you know, organophosphates aren't things you want to be exposed to. So there's been an increasing awareness with time. But one of the main things that kind of holds us back is that all the legal cases that are brought against some of the big aircraft manufacturers are usually settled out of court. So the documentation never gets released. So it's taken us a long time. And you're also trying to change some of the biggest industries in the world. You know, the oil industry and the aviation industry. But having said that, it's important to note that the people who make the oils, you know, they make an oil that is fantastic. It does a great job at lubricating the oil. And in all the years of flying, I never had to shut an engine down because of, you know, anything related to the oil. The problem relates to the aircraft manufacturers deciding to take this bleed air from the engines, knowing that it can be contaminated. So they will just tell you, oh, no, we've tested the air on the airplanes and it's better than in your home. Nothing to worry about. Everything's fine. But, you know, they don't tell you the truth. It's a bit like tobacco or asbestosis or thalidomide. You know, they're withholding this information, but they need to do something about it. And in some ways, they've started to. The new Boeing 787 Dreamliner, an amazing airplane, and it no longer uses air from the engines. It uses electrical compressors. So, you know, that's the future. But in the interim, we need to install filters on all the aircraft flying there. Now, some of your listeners will say, hang on, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. There are filters on the airplanes because I've heard about that. It's important to note that to reduce how much air they take from the engines per second, to reduce how much fuel they're burning, they recirculate 50% of the air in the cabin. So if you're sitting there, the air you're breathing, it all originates from the engines. But some of it's also recirculated. And the recirculated air is filtered for bacteria and viruses. And those filters are quite effective at removing viruses, which is good. But they will have no or little effect on the contaminants we're talking about, whether it be the organophosphates or carbon monoxide or chemicals like that, because those kind of chemicals are so small. They're much smaller than viruses, so they go through the filter like it didn't really exist.
I was just thinking, I believe that part of the reason why this film and what you do in terms of highlighting this issue is so effective is that it comes from a place of love. And you have stated many times in the past and in your film too, that you love the aviation industry.
Absolutely. I love aviation today, and the world needs aviation. You know, the global economy needs aviation, absolutely do. But what we need is we need to protect every passenger boarding an airplane. Why should a pregnant mother board an airplane in the first 8 weeks of her pregnancy and run any risk of exposing her baby to these chemicals? Because when these events occur, even the big events, so the events come in different scales. So to start with, on every flight, there'll be some residual low-level contamination. We showed that in the film very clearly because we went and measured the air on airplanes on 4 domestic flights around the UK. So everybody's going to have some level of contamination. Then when you start to notice the smell, you're actually then starting to have what we call a contaminated air event or a fume event. And then if it's really catastrophic, then you start to see visible smoke in the cabin. And those events are very rare, and I never had any of those. But in the film, we show an example where the whole cabin filled with oil fumes, and you could hardly see more than 2 rows in front of you. And all the passengers on the airplane to this day have never been told what chemicals they were exposed to. The airline never rings you up a week later, a month, 5 years, 10 years later, and says, oh, hi, you were on this airplane flight where there was a serious contaminated air event. We know you were exposed to these toxic chemicals. We want to see, do you have neurological problems now? Do you have cancer? They never do that. And that's why they don't want to put sensors on aircraft, because of the corporate liability. But as I said, I love aviation, and we need to fix the problem. Aviation, over the time I've been involved, has faced many challenges, and aviation has always found a solution, whether it be the after 9/11 having the new reinforced cockpit doors, whether it be enhanced weather radar, automatic landing system, anti-collision avoidance. Even after the Malaysian plane went missing, we now have an ability to monitor all airplanes in real time. So aviation can do it if it wants. I mean, it went from thinking about going to the moon to landing on the moon in 8 years. So if it had the desire to, it could fix this problem. And we're starting to see a change in the industry. And we're starting to see more and more companies starting to design filtration systems and sensors. So I think we're slowly getting there. But it's a hard battle, because the governments very clearly are supporting the aerospace industry rather than protecting public health.
Was filmmaking something that you were always interested in and found was a powerful way in which to communicate messages such as this?
Well, when I was ill health retired in 2006 from my company, you know, people said, oh, you should sue the airline. And I thought, well, at the end of the day, ironically, it wasn't the airline that created the problem. It was the aircraft manufacturer and the engine supplier. And I thought, and they've got more money than I have, so I've got no chance. So I thought I should retrain as a filmmaker and tell my story. So my very first documentary on these topics was called Welcome Aboard Toxic Airlines. And it came out in 2007. And when it came out in the UK, it triggered 2 calls for a public inquiry. So at that time, Labour were in power. And so the Tories, the Lib Dems and the Greens all called for a public inquiry after, you know, they saw the film. And ironically, once the Tories and the Lib Dems got into power, they never did anything. And it just shows you how powerful the aerospace industry is, that they can make sure what the government does or doesn't do. But credit to the Green Party, though, because the Green Party actually changed their manifesto and said, should we get in power, we will mandate filters on all aircraft and we will mandate the installation of warning systems. But sadly, it's unlikely they're going to get into power anytime soon. But it was a tribute to them for doing that, for actually saying that's what we will do if we get into power.
And so you are expecting to kind of for this documentary to contribute to that change. And I'm saying that as well because I of course with COVID that might have complicated things a little bit recently.
Yeah, so the film was we premiered in Raindance in September 19, and then we started a UK cinema release, and it was just incredible the response we got from the public. You know, most of the screenings were full, and I thought when people watched Everybody Flies, because obviously, you know, it was many years after my first film on these topics, so hopefully it was a better product, and we had an amazing team behind the film. We had some of our editing team had worked on An Inconvenient Truth that won the Academy Award, or Sicko that won the Academy Award, so we had a really good team behind it. So when we screened the film in cinemas, what surprised me was how outraged the public were. I thought they'd be a little bit annoyed, but they were really outraged at what the truth of all of this was. So the cinema release was going well, and then COVID sadly came along, which stopped it in the UK. And it was meant to have a US cinema release, but obviously COVID has put that on pause. So it was a great shame. We were just getting lots of traction going. So that was, but in during the COVID times, what that's allowed us to do as a film company is we finished editing the prequel to the film. So there's a prequel to Everybody Flies called American 965, and that film was finished on the 1st of January, hasn't been screened anywhere yet. And that film basically looks at the plane crash of American Airlines Flight 965 on 20 December 1995. And because our investigations after 5 years have shown that we believe there's a strong possibility that that plane crashed because the crew's cognitive ability was impaired due to oil fumes. And what we've found is that even though they knew there was an oil leak to the engine that supplied the breathing air to the pilots, the investigators either chose not to or were told not to look at all of this.
Speaking of outrage, I should mention this film does feature interviews and with crew members, passengers, and people that were willing to share their story. Were you surprised that so many people stepped up and actually were willing to share the story in public on Everybody Flies?
Yeah, it's a very good point, because as a filmmaker, the fact that I've been kind of campaigning these issues for nearly 19 years now, all of these people that I've met in my time, they know they can trust me. They know my heart is purely there, and my whole passion is to fix this problem. So when we had crews who went and swabbed the walls of aircraft, you know, they were risking their jobs to do it. And we swabbed the walls to look for the signature of the chemicals that we're concerned about, the organophosphates in the engine oils and hydraulic fluids. And, you know, they were positive in pretty much every swab sample. So, you know, if you take like an alcohol wipe and you swab the walls of the surface of the airplane, you're seeing the presence of organophosphates on the surfaces of walls, showing that the air you're breathing has, you know, at some point been contaminated with this stuff. And they risk their jobs to do it, you know, and I'm very grateful to them. So, you know, it's having trust between the filmmaker and the people who are helping.
Yeah. I think at some point in the film, you do refer to how the aviation industry addressed the issue of terrorism so quickly and effectively, in reference to the fact that solving this issue of toxic air on commercial aircraft is possible. So you did mention that the situation is slowly beginning to change. It's probably going to take a long time, but is there any way that people can stay in touch and keep up with any information about this and further developments?
Absolutely. So we have a Facebook page called Everybody Flies, and we have all our information there. We also have a website where we put all the news articles and stuff. Currently, our sales agent, Cinefil in Israel, they're currently in negotiations with various platforms to see if they want to take the film. And obviously the film is a contender for the 2021 Academy Awards. And because of that, it has certain constraints on how you can release the film before the awards. So, you know, we have good expectations for it. And also, if there's any of your listeners who are listening who are more interested in these issues, you know, they're doctors, policymakers, or they work in the industry or public health, there's a major conference coming up on these issues. It'll be the biggest conference ever held between the 15th and the 18th of March, online. It's free. and it's at aircraftcabinair.com, aircraftcabinair.com. So that, you know, that's where they can find out lots more and listen to doctors, scientists and public health experts talk about this from around the world.
All right, Tristan, thank you very much for joining us. It's been fascinating. Thanks a lot, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.